Let me tell you about my Jesus. I want to tell you about Jesus and me. I can't help myself. He's in me and I just gotta let him out. I want to tell you about that special relationship we have as disciples. I want to tell you how real he is to me. How even when I don't perceive his presence, he's there with me. I want to tell you about how I can tell him things. I can tell him things that I can tell no one else. I want to tell you about that intimacy we have together in the Eucharist. If I had more time, I'd tell you all the times I'd encountered him in prayer, encountered him in other people, encountered him in the Holy Mass. But for the sake of time, let me tell you three stories. The first story, years ago, Gail and I went to a semi-pro basketball team, basketball game here in St. Charles. I think they were called the Swarm. We only went a couple times. We got tickets from a friend, and we were in the third row. In fact, we were right in the middle of the court in the third row. And right below us was a nice couple. They had two small children. It looked like maybe it was the first game they'd been able to take those kids to. And then right below them was another couple right on the floor of the basketball court. Well, as the story goes, as the game progressed, we noticed something really foul. The man who was on the first floor down below, right below those children, he started yelling things at the refs. He started yelling things at the players, at the other coaches across the other side. He was really loud, and I can't tell you what he said. It was obnoxious. It was foul. And as the game went on, he got louder. As the game went on, his words got worse. Gail, my little Gail sitting next to me, she was right here, and she was getting mad. She was getting mad because she saw how it affected those two children and the family in front of them. And when Gail gets mad, I tell you, I always tell people there's Gail warnings out. So she said to me, "You have to say something." I go, "Okay." So I said to the man, I said, "Excuse me, sir, you need to watch your language in front of these children." Well, he immediately stood up, faced me, we're only like 4 feet apart, faced me, clenched his fist, and looked like he was gonna explode. What to do now? Well, about that time, Gail starts to stand up. Gail starts to stand up, and I'm like, "Oh no. If you men have ever been in a situation like that where your wife starts to stand up, you can't stay seated." So I stood up, and he gets mad when I stood up. I should have let Gail take care of it. So he gets mad when Gail stands up, and just as I stand up, he kind of stops for a second. He looks at me, and his fists were clenched, and then his fist went limp, and he turned to the lady there, I assumed it was his spouse. He said something to her, and they left. They went to the other side of the basketball court. Yeah. I am an imposing figure, aren't I? And I turned and looked at Gail, and then I turned to sit down, and I saw this 6'8", 275-pound man standing up right beside me. He was right behind me. So when I stood up, he stood up. I said the only thing I could think of at that point, I said, "Can I buy you a beer?" And he said, "Yes, you can." You see, Jesus has my back. He always has my back, whether I perceive it or not, whether I realize he's behind me, whether I think that I'm doing it all, he's animating me. I know he's there. He's real, whether I perceive it or not. Story number two. A few years ago, I was at doing PSR visits and during Advent, and I said to the fifth grade class, I said, "Who's Jesus?" Seems like a simple question. Who's Jesus? And I got great answers. Our Savior, the Son of Mary, the Son of God. Really good answers. And then I said to them, I said, "But who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you?" Silence. Not just a pregnant pause. Silence. Finally, a young man who was near where I was talking raised his hand, and I said to him, "Who is Jesus to you?" And he said, "Jesus is someone I can tell things I can't tell anyone else. Jesus is someone I can tell things I can't tell anyone else." I love that, don't you? That's my Jesus too. In prayer and at other times, I can pour out my heart to Jesus. If I invite him in, I ask him to respond to me, he does. Often he responds to me right away when I'm in prayer, when I'm in adoration, when I'm there in the silence. But other times he tests my patience. He lets me sit for a while. He lets me contemplate who I am to him and who he is to me. He lets me, in the silence, yearn for him until the right moment. As a disciple, even tells me things from his heart for me. He even gives me things out of his mercy that he wants me to tell other people. I've discovered he really wants us disciples to be that close to him, to be with him in friendship and discover who Jesus is to us. My fellow disciples, the third story is so true. I want you to know it because it is so wonderful to me. Father James Mason was the rector of the seminary. He's not anymore, but at the time he was the rector, he was traveling on a plane. You may have heard the story. He found himself sitting next to a Protestant believer. And the Protestant believer, of course, recognizing that he was a priest, asked him a question that many of us have heard before. "Do you have a personal relationship with Christ?" Father Mason immediately responded, "No." I wasn't there, so I don't know really what the demeanor of the passenger was. I don't know whether the passenger returned Father Mason's no with a knowing smile or what, but I met Father Mason and I know he smiled. He said, he followed it up with this, "I don't have a personal relationship with Christ. I have an intimate relationship with Jesus." I love that too, don't you? We Catholics, we don't parcel out our intimacy with Jesus. We don't parcel out and say, "This is when I'll be with him and this is when I won't." We don't decide that we'll only meet him in the Word of God, which is so important to us. He comes to us more profoundly every day at this Mass, at every Mass in the Holy Eucharist. He trusts each one of us that we can be his disciples. I become him as I become what I eat. He doesn't withhold himself from any of us, no matter what we've done before. He wants us to respond in kind. I want to share this with you. I wanted to because I want you to have that Jesus relationship that I do. I want you to feel that love of his, the love of his that comes into our hearts and shakes out all the fear. The love of his that casts out any doubt that we can share our Jesus with someone else. The man healed in our gospel. The man healed in our gospel went around and told everybody what Jesus had done. But my heart sinks for him. My heart, even though it goes out to him in joy about his healing, what happened? He became a fan of Jesus. He became a fan of Jesus. He could tell everybody that Jesus was from Nazareth. He could tell everybody what Jesus did for him. But he couldn't tell anybody what was on Jesus' heart for him. He couldn't tell anybody about being a disciple. He didn't return to Jesus after that great gift that he'd received. He became just a fan of Jesus. And I had to ask myself, reflecting on this gospel, reflecting on my salvation by the guy behind me in the basketball court. I never got tickets in the same space again. I never saw that man again. I can't tell you anything about him except what he did once for me. But I can tell you about my Jesus. I can tell you about how we walk together. I can tell you about how he longs for me as he longs for you. My fellow disciples, it isn't easy to be a disciple, but it's so much easier than we make it out to be. It's so much simpler. All we have to do is say, let me tell you about my Jesus. Wouldn't it be a great conversation starter with somebody, a stranger, or even somebody you know, to ask them the simple question, do you have an intimate relationship with Christ? If they said yes, you could share stories about how close you were to Jesus. If they said no or gave you a quizzical look, you could say, come and see. Come and be a Catholic. Come and eat and become who you were destined as you were called to be. You know, when we go into adoration, we go into the simple chapel. The simple chapel, we meet Jesus. We meet him in the silence of our hearts. We allow him to look at us as we look at him. We realize how important we are to him as we are considered, as we are contemplated, as we are loved. Yes, my fellow disciples, that's an offering to him as he offers himself to us. So I invite you this Lent not to change. Oh, do not change. Become. Become what you eat. Become who you meet. Become disciples of Jesus.